NBC on CW contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
My name is Oliver Queen.
You died. I went to your funeral.
The city be saving.
What happened to you? The right to remain silent.
I'm in the future.
My name is Barry Allen, and I'm the fastest man alive.
Supergirl.
You people become a team.
Hey, cuz.
It's good to see you.
This looks like a job for the both of us.
Heroes. You're legends. You have failed this city.
Get your cape on and let's take flight. We can do it.
Welcome. You're listening to DC on CW Supergirl Edition on Rain Man Digital. If you're listening from your desktop, you can take us mobile by downloading the Rain Man Digital app, available in the iTunes App Store and Google Play. Simply search Rain Man Digital. And you can also find us on demand through iTunes and Stitcher by searching DC on CW. Once you find us there, please go ahead and leave us a review. It helps us out a bunch. In the studio with me today, I'm your host, Lauren Alexander, but I've got Bobby D., sitting over there dancing to these sweet jams.
Yeah, hello, hello.
If only you could see it. And I've also got Nicole Nance with me.
What's up?
What's up? All right, so today we're going to be breaking down and discussing Supergirl Season 3, Episode 4, The Faithful. Kara discovers a new cult in National City, and it's one that worships all things Supergirl. It's really creepy and weird and unsettling.
Just a
probably
little.
Probably realistic.
I know, but cringy nonetheless. Just because it's realistic doesn't mean that I don't cringe at people. Just because I can believe that it would really happen doesn't mean it's not cringy.
Not weird.
All right, so we've got a little bit of news today. We've got a closer look at Rain's costume on Supergirl. So this week, they released some pictures of, well, just one really, right? Like just one promotional.
Yeah, that standard promotional shot that they do.
Yeah. And Rain's costume is pretty freaking sweet. It's really cool. It's all black, and I don't know. It's very like Kryptonian.
I'd cosplay that.
Right? Same.
That's always why I like to bring up costumes to you guys, because I know you guys look at it completely different than probably 90% of the world out there.
Right. It has similar textures to Supergirl's costume, but it is different, and there's like some leather on there and stuff beyond like a cape. There's a lot of really cool details on it. It's really awesome. And a couple things to point out. So, you know, Rain is much more human looking than she was in the comics.
I think we all expected a alien, right?
Ish. I don't know. I think that would have been a little harder to explain.
She almost looked like Wynn's girlfriend.
Yeah, with that heavy brow.
Yes.
Gray skin.
I thought we were going to get something like that.
Okay.
Not basically they made the mask, because she's wearing a mask. Mm-hmm. Kind of do that texture or whatever you want to call it. Give her that look.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it makes sense for what they're doing with the story. I'm not mad at it. But yeah, I mean, she definitely didn't look like the pretty human Supergirl kind of person that we have. I don't know. But anyway, her costume is really cool. There's a really cool Kryptonian crest on there. But it's not like any crest I think we've ever really seen before. It's got this like skull screaming on it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I would buy a shirt with that on it.
Yeah.
I put it out on Instagram, you know, but I've been doing that with the stories, and it actually got like a 92% approval rating, which I'm surprised because the internet hates everything.
Yeah. I think she looks cool. They're definitely trying to like give you a feel for, or like pay homage to the original costume and the original character. You know, she's got that weird little like hairpiece at the end of her braid. you know, looks like her braid in the comics. She's got this like shoulder, there's like leather armor and stuff that kind of like mimics the look really, but isn't exact. It's cool though. It's cool. There's
they
some
couldn't
pieces.
Exactly make a titty costume.
They could not. I mean, they could have,
they
but,
could have
it
but
wouldn't
not
have gone
with
so
the
well.
Show. Yeah.
Yeah. It, it's got bits and pieces that pay homage to Rain for sure in the comics.
So how long till we see it?
It's going to be a while, I think.
Cause how long did Katie Cassidy get in the canary suit before they actually showed her on Arrow?
Right.
I mean, it seemed like forever.
Yeah, I think it's still going to be a while. I think they're playing the long game here, and they're just trying to keep hype. I don't know. I don't think we're going to see it for a while. I definitely like the mask on this costume, though. I think it's interesting, and I think that it's cool because she has to hide her face somehow. And she doesn't hide her face in her normal everyday with the glasses that Kara does with her vision and everything. So
that almost goes along with we will probably see that scene where they run into each other.
Yeah. Oh, hey.
Yeah, you're that one person. Oh, shit.
Crap. All right. So let's move on to our next article. This one's from Screen Rant asking, did Supergirl just introduce another world killer? No, I don't know about that. They say, you know, Samantha came, like she has been receiving strange visions and horrific flashes of what are likely repressed memories. She came face to face not just with her own visage covered in tattoos of Kryptonian symbols, but with a hooded apparition who promises that soon you will reign. Is this apparition another world killer? One thing is for sure, there are more world killers than just Rain, and they're definitely on Earth. I mean, yeah, totally. But, well, they're not definitely on Earth. We don't know that for sure.
Yeah.
Just because there's a Kryptonian ship beneath National City doesn't mean that what's in there are world killers. Yeah, they could just be other Kryptonians.
Okay. I was just wondering. I thought it was interesting just because we know there are multiple world killers. And technically, right, a Superman or Supergirl can't beat a world killer. Only another world killer can beat a world killer. Is that
true?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think so.
Would it be too much to all of a sudden just like bring in all four?
Okay, well, so here's the thing. So yes, only a world killer can kill another world killer, but do you think they're going to stick to that? I mean, maybe they will, but I don't know. I just don't know. They could change so much or keep so much. And there's probably got to be the other world killers, but how soon are we really going to see them when we're getting the fucking slope play here on Rain?
Yeah.
You know, they're not just going to pop in some other world killers and then Rain's going to awaken and, oh, I'm the leader. Guess what? You know?
I was just wondering because it just like, it looked like there were multiple pods in that ship at the end.
Oh, there were. There absolutely were.
So if they were like trapped in there and sent to Earth.
But she, it looks like she was sent on her own.
Yeah. Then the rest of them just kind of showed up.
She was sent in a singular pod, so what's the deal with that? I mean, we really have no background here. You know, we're flying blind, guys.
Yeah, five episodes in, and we really don't know anything about her other than that she doesn't realize what's going on.
And I don't hate it.
No, not at all.
I really don't. I don't hate that we've got, you know, it's not even villains of the week per se, but there's other problems.
Yeah.
And there's other things going on, and we get story on all of these characters. So I'm not mad at it.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll get into the episode.
I'll be in the armory, shooting at something.
That sounds relaxing.
DC on CW. We'll be right back.
The Rain Man Show.
The Rain Man Show.
Go ahead, Andrew.
Minister Kevin Swanson, who holds notoriously homophobic views, said Houston had sinned by having a very, very aggressively pro-homosexual mayor. Unless Houston repents, unless New Orleans repents, they will all likewise perish, he told his radio show.
How does he get a radio show?
That is the message that Lord Jesus Christ is sending.
No, it's not.
Right now to America. His comments come days after Christian radio personality Rick Wiles linked Houston's progressive attitudes with the storm as well.
Okay, so gay people have magical powers. They're basically Aquaman. They can control the weather and the sea life.
Why would you want to be their friend then?
Yeah, exactly. I wish I was gay. If I can have magical powers, I would go down on a dude. Like, hey, listen, go down on a dude and you can now command the weather. I'm like, all right.
Sure.
Point me to the nearest dick, please.
I thought I had to get bit by a spider, but apparently I had to get bit by some fashion.
That's my origin story. My origin story is to get plowed in the ass.
For more Rain Man, visit RainManShow.com.
Holodeck 3 program is reinstated.
Open sesame!
Variations in Trek? Appetites have changed drastically, David. What worked on TV then will not work now, despite what people think they want. So the writers of Discovery are left juggling. How do we make this series be something similar, but also fit the times that we are in? How do we pair this Trek, David? How do we pair this Trek with the palette of modern audiences? And I give you this week's episode. Am I right?
Yeah.
Can I get a round of applause? Come on, David, applause.
Applause, applause.
Pass the Romulan ale and the hot Vulcan women. Panfar for everybody. Or Ponfar.
Ponfar for everyone.
Ponfar for everybody. Bring out Lorsa and Baytor. They were hot. Those are the Klingon women as well. We're bringing all of them. We don't care. And Tilly, too, please. Bring her out.
Yes.
I need to catch my breath. I was too excited. Star Trek from the Holodeck, the Discovery Edition. Breaking down, analyzing, and discussing every episode of the new hit Trek series. Search for it on iTunes and Stitcher. Simply search From the Holodeck. You can also find it on the Rain Man Digital app. Just search Rain Man Digital from the iTunes App Store or Google Play.
Guys, did you know that Rain Man Digital now offers a premium service? That's right. Besides the weekly free broadcasts, Rain Man Digital now offers a premium service. And when you pledge to our Patreon page, you automatically become a subscriber. So it's easy. The premium service includes video content, plus additional exclusive shows like Star Trek from the Holodeck, Comic Book Chaos, DC on CW bonus shows,
Yay.
Supernatural, The Crossroads, and more. So head on over to patreon.com/RainManDigital and sign up today.
Yeah, if you like hearing us talk about the TV shows and you want to hear us talk about other DC stuff, go sign up. It's a $5 tier and you get all kinds of new content.
Have you ever wanted something so bad that you do just about anything for it? Well, that's exactly how we feel about you. That's right. AdamandEve.com wants you so bad. We're giving you 10 free gifts with your first order. You heard me right. That's 10 free gifts to spice up your love life. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, an adventurous toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. That's 10 free gifts for you shy types who've never tried Adam and Eve before. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, a sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code DEAL30 at checkout and you'll get all 10 free gifts, including free shipping. That's offer code DEAL30. That's DEAL30 at adamandeve.com.
You're listening to Rain Man Digital's DC on CW.
Welcome back. Let's get right into Supergirl Season 3, Episode 4, The Faithful. Directed by Jesse Warren and written by Paula Yu and Katie Rose Rogers. So, I mean, they keep coming at us hard with feels. They keep coming at us with lots of stories involving all of the characters. Nobody really feels left out entirely. It's just some characters are less focused on, which is nice.
And like you said, they're not doing villain of the week.
Yeah.
You know, we're not getting some bullshit like, oh, this person's doing this. It's kind of like real things that are happening.
Yeah, absolutely. So this week we see what would probably be the most realistic reaction to a super, and that's, you know, kind of making them a god and worshiping them, idolizing them at least. So we throw back to the pilot episode this time, and it's, you know, Supergirl on the wing of the plane saving it. And you know, there's this guy being a dick. Well, 3 years later, put him on the back burner for a second. We see some crazy lady, some weird culty, creepy lady coming up to Samantha saying Ruby is chosen, which immediately made me concerned. Like, what does Ruby have to do with this? You know, I mean, like, yeah, she probably has Kryptonian DNA. But beyond that, what does she have to do with it? She's just a kid. And also, how would they know? Like, what would they...
What is their database like?
Yeah.
Figuring this shit out. Dude, I would have started yelling at that lady right off the bat. Like, get the fuck away from my kid.
You stay the fuck away from me and my kid. Yeah. Get out of here.
Yeah. Like,
you creep.
That would just freak me out. Like, why do you know my kid's name? You know, why are you handing me this? Who are you? Why are you watching me? Like, her reaction just wasn't what I, as a parent, would be, like, expecting. I mean, I probably would have flipped out. I don't know how she stayed so kind of calm.
I don't know. I mean,
and dumbfounded by it, I guess.
Yeah.
My reaction probably would have been fairly similar to hers, at least at first. You know, just kind of trying to suss out the situation and trying to get a feel and a read on this woman first before going off the handle.
Like, are you recruiting her for soccer?
Right.
On?
Like, just logging in my head all the weird things she's saying or not saying, like not responding to which one's yours. You know, obviously you're going to think, oh, that's really weird. Okay. Taking a note of that. But, not wanting to cause a total scene either or like trigger someone who's actually like legit crazy and potentially violent. You know, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Well, she also did come up with like that creepy smile and like doll like features and was like, Ruby is chosen. I would have been like,
Ruby special.
For what? Yeah.
That's creepy when you guys
She's so special. She's very chosen.
Chosen. She's special.
Yeah, that was
come to our meeting. Come to our gathering. We'll show you the way. Freaking weird, man. It's cringy.
Oh, I was cringing hard.
Yeah. And
I'm cringing hard right now, not like in my pants, but just you guys are freaking me out. You guys gotta stop.
Hey, sorry about it. So you know, Kara ends up finding this because we're seeing a little more interaction between Samantha and Lena and Kara. But Kara sees it, immediately recognizes, and I think as soon as we saw the cover of the pamphlet, we all immediately recognized that it was a Kryptonian symbol.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So Kara and Jimmy and Wynn, they go to church.
To find Jesus.
Yeah. You know, it's just, and I got to say, I loved the interaction there where she was just like, she was clearly upset. She was like, I'm going to go. I'm going to look into this. And they were like, oh, you're not going alone. She was like, I don't need protection, guys. And they were like, yeah, we know. You're misunderstanding here. We just want to go. We have nothing to do. we're not going to not check out this weird, creepy, like, cult of Krypton, you know?
And that's something that all of us would do.
Like, oh, totally.
What are you doing? Oh, yeah, I'll go there with you.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to go check that out.
I have no interest in what it is, but it's weird and I want to watch.
It's weird.
With popcorn.
I want to see how this goes down.
Yeah.
Let's check it out. Totally. That's the first real like friends thing I think we've seen them do in a long time.
Yeah.
Like the three of them. they're never like just the three of them alone together anymore. They're never just like the trio.
Yeah, it's usually they're at the bar or whatever, and but this is the first time they've kind of went on a mini adventure together.
Yeah, I do appreciate that they're throwing us a bone there and going, hey, look at how much James and Wynn have bonded. They still hang out. They're going to go bowling if there's, you know, no crime to fight. but they go to the church and we get our introduction to the children of Rao. Get our first real, like, I don't know, introduction to Krypton's religion. It's been discussed and, you know, she mentions Rao and uses that word in place of the word God. Which is nice. That's like, that seems legit. That seems real.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's interesting because watching her go through this, I want to say presentation because it basically is, watching her sit back and see all these people, there's so many mixed emotions there because on the one hand, all of these people are there because Supergirl saved them and they look up to her and she changed their lives and she saved their lives and they're grateful for that. And that's a special thing. That's wonderful. But then it gets twisted. Chad Lowe plays Thomas Coville and he is totally cult leader. I mean, like just soft and set in his ways and a little bit persuasive, but also not really. He's not aggressive. He just wants to help you and show you the way. He just wants to help you become at peace with yourself through the following of Rao. That's it.
You like, sound like you're passing out pamphlets.
Right? Exactly. It's cringy. Am I right? Like yeah. He's too soft and like at peace and just follow me. I'll show you the way, little sheep.
Yeah.
He did a great job. He did a great, great job at that.
I haven't seen Chad Lowe in forever.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think anything of it. I know he was in 24 and stuff like that, but, you know, I...
Oh, he didn't age as good as his brother.
No. But he's not a bad-looking guy.
But he's not Rob Lowe.
He's not Rob Lowe. We're sorry, Chad.
We're sorry, Chad. You're like a B minus, and Rob Lowe's 100 years older than you and still an God. A plus.
Stop Aww. It. Be nice to Chad. We're sorry, Chad. We think you're great.
I'm like a D, so.
But yeah, so I mean, we get to see, you know, we kind of put a pin in the guy, the douchebag on the plane, and lo and behold, it's Chad Lowe.
Have you ever run into anybody that's been like saved like that? That you've run into like friends and seen them make that like weird transition of like, what happened to you? It's like, I found God. I took Jesus Christ as my savior.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, what happened?
Yeah, I knew a guy who apparently he got it really bad into drugs and it was a whole thing. And I don't know what happened. We became acquaintances only through Facebook after a certain point in time. And I found out only after he posted about going to prison and like, having a problem with addiction. And, you know, he's changed and he's accepted God into his life and blah, blah, blah. And he's a born again Christian and he changed his name and he did all these things. And I was like, all right, man, that's drastic.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing to watch.
Yeah.
And that's fine for some people, but it's a weird thing to watch for sure. But so, I mean, he is that guy on the plane who was being a total dick and found God through Supergirl. She is his God now. And he's creepy. Yeah, he's very creepy. But we get to see something that Arrow could learn a little bit from, which is the proper usage of flashbacks. You know, Supergirl kind of flashing back to her mother and her learning the word of Rao on Krypton and having that religious bonding with her mother and her culture. And it's brief, but it is effective and it gets the job done. And we get to see that it was a big part of their community and, yeah, and their societal structure in many ways on Krypton.
Because the flashback, you know, like you said, it helped kind of bring you to the Krypton part of it. And without that, we know how much it really meant to her, you know, because it's been just like a passing word till we actually see like her actual belief and caring in it that much.
So, yeah,
like I said, it was a lot better flashback than going on, like some of the things we've seen in Arrow in the past. We're like, I don't know what the point of that was at all.
And no. Literally no one else in Kara's life practices this religion, follows this god. And she's almost been forced, not by a person, but just by lack of exposure, to abandon it or drift away from it. And, you know, say what you will about religion, you know, it's for some people and it's not for others. But it seemed to be a very important thing to her when she was a kid in her society, in her culture, in her family. And now, she's just, I don't know, she didn't have much of a choice in drifting away from it, it seems like. Because growing up on a new planet, it's hard, you're focusing on other things.
Yeah.
Literally no one else knows the teachings. So,
yeah, you're not, Chad Lowe wasn't around when she was little.
Right, yeah. And yeah. She has this reaction to how Koville is teaching this, because it's, the intent is there. And he has the general idea, but it's manipulated and it's twisted and it's not quite right. She calls it, you know, perverted, and it's true. I mean, he's taking little bits and pieces. That's like one of us, unearthing an artifact of an ancient religion and based off of that going, oh, well, obviously this is like this and this is how it was taught. This is the religion.
I know better than everybody else.
I know for facts, man.
Yeah.
For facts. It made sense. You know, he wouldn't know much about it.
No.
And it has this reaction in her, and she's just like, this is wrong. Everything about this is weird and creepy and cringy. And I know we were all sitting there going, yeah, man, sure is.
A little bit.
A little bit.
Just a little.
Yeah.
Well, I it's always weird because, like, in, like, real life, we always see, you know, wars fought because of gods or religion and all that other stuff, where people take interpretations of words and kind of make them work for whatever they're trying to do. And I think that's what he was doing, you know, kind of.
People see what they want to see.
Yeah. You like, I mean, we could all read the same passage, you know, whether it's in a book. You know, if it wasn't, you know, it doesn't have to be a religious book, and take different things out of what we read.
We could all read one paragraph, the same paragraph, and absolutely interpret it different ways.
And so I could see how something that came out of nowhere could just be interpreted. And especially if he was that obsessed with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because even when we come in here with these shows and we all see different things, talk about different things excite us about. So, I mean, I could see the same thing happening with some kind of foreign religious type experience, I guess.
Yeah. So we also find out something really interesting that I cannot relate to in the slightest, and that is that Kara remembers everyone she's ever saved. You know, with the exception of saving a plane full of people that she couldn't really see. If she saved someone individually, she remembers them.
That's one hell of a memory.
I cannot relate.
Nope.
Oh my good lord.
No, not even. Well, okay, so would it be different if you experienced something with them like that?
Probably. Maybe. But yeah. At the same time, also, I've experienced things with people and...
You're like, you were there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember that time, Lauren?
I do that to my friends sometimes where I'm just like, wait, that happened? We did that?
Well, shit.
And it'll be like a crazy story too. I'm like, how did I forget that?
Well, just think of even like me and you, for example. I don't know how long I knew of you or saw you before I was actually introduced to you by Ryan. It might have been in San Diego at the first, you know, for our first time.
Huh.
Even though I saw you around and you talked to Ryan, but I always stood in the background.
Huh. Yeah. That's a good point. I have no idea.
Right? I mean, we were never introduced to each other. I'm not, you guys both know me. I'm not the guy that's going to go run up and be like, hi, I'm Bob.
Yeah, I'm, especially at conventions. Especially at
that, with that voice, too.
Yes, that'll.
Hi, I'm Bob.
Whoa. You got Facebook? Do you want to be friends?
Do you want to be friends? let's be friends.
Is it you?
No, be my best friend.
Weird. We're all weird.
But yes. You know what I mean, though? Like, but it, as soon as we like experience something together, you know, it's kind of one of those things I think, yeah, I mean, at least for me, I would remember.
Yeah, I mean, there's this, I mean, this is going to be outdated at a certain point, but there's this thing going around on Facebook right now where people are just like, describe how we met using only one GIF. And I was like, yeah, I'm bored. So I did that one day. I was like, yeah, I've got some time to kill at work and it's a real slow day. Help me get through it. And people posted some things. And I'm like, holy crap, that is how we met. I never would have remembered that without something triggering my memory. And a lot of them were really funny. And like some of them were weird experiences that really would stand out. And I just had no idea. No, I just didn't remember.
You know what? I'm taking that back. Because I could not, if you put 20 girls in the lineup or one girl in the lineup, I couldn't tell you if it, that was the girl I kind of half-ass rescued from that douchebag in San Diego when I pulled him out of the car.
Oh, God, yeah, no, not even a little bit.
Right? Like, legitimately, she could be like, oh, yeah, I was in the Uber when you yanked that guy out of the car. I'd be like, ew,
oh,
no,
hey.
You're not. Right?
It's like, not you.
Yeah, so maybe I wouldn't remember if it was an experience. I wouldn't even remember the dude that I was trying to fight.
Oh, God, yeah, no, I'm awful at that. I would not remember. Like, guarantee you, I would not remember. And that's...
Would you want to remember all that stuff? Because that seems like a lot of tragedy that you're running into saving. That seems like a burden.
Yeah. And I mean, you're bound to remember a lot of the incidents, but the people too. It's just a lot. That's a lot. I don't know. I could never remember that much. I used to work with different people every single day and God could not tell you who any of them were or what they looked like. You know what I mean? Like I can't do it. So kudos to Kara for having a great memory almost to the point of like, I don't know, obsessive compulsion. So let's talk about what happens after she visits this cult. And she goes out one night. She hears sirens. She's just doing her normal Supergirl duty. And there's a guy. We see a guy on a roof surrounded by fire. And my initial thought was, oh, this guy is cornered by someone. Is this our, like, do we get a villain of the week? And is the Cult of Rao just kind of going to be in the background here? Nope. Dude set the building on fire to attract Supergirl to him to save him. How freaking
so
reckless.
Weird. And so weird. Yeah, Steve's response when he saw that was literally, how the hell did he get up there? And I'm like, this seems weird. And then, yeah, we come to find out that he did it himself just to get saved because that's their sort of quote-unquote baptism.
And see, that's the thing. That's the thing that makes it culty is that they are encouraged to put themselves at risk. Or at least, at the very least, they're not discouraged from it.
Yeah. And maybe that's why they were like, Ruby is chosen because she did that earlier.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. That's a good point.
But she was doing it for a completely different reason because of her mom. She wanted to prove that her mom was a superhero.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
And I think she was on the news at least once. So maybe that's why they were like, she's chosen. We know her. One of us.
You know what? That's a better reason than anything Bob or I have got.
That's the only thing I can think of.
It's not unreasonable. Yeah. And I hope that there's not something more that ties to it. I hope there's not something more that's just like, hey, we know you have Kryptonian DNA, world killer.
What's up?
I don't know. But, I mean, yeah, this is the kind of shit that's culty. Is them not being discouraged from putting themselves and others at risk and in harm's way just to be touched by Supergirl, just to be saved by her and to bask in her glory, to test their faith. And that's a lot to put on her too. Mm. And we see Kara being reminded by Maggie of how the law works and freedom of speech and freedom of religion. You know, unless he was specifically told to do something like this or whatever, you know, this guy's probably getting an arson charge. But other than that, you know, the leader of this, if he didn't tell them to do it, he's not liable.
And that's seriously, like, isn't that like how like Manson and a lot of those cult, you know, cult guys got away with telling everybody else to murder, or not telling them to murder, but convincing them that's the way, and then they go do it. They couldn't charge people, a lot of those cult leaders.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think so.
I mean, that's the sort of thing that initially seemed like maybe Manson would get away with everything, you know, because he didn't commit things. He just encouraged other people. And luckily they got him on that because he did encourage them to. But that's that weird like cult leader thing where like, okay, I didn't do this, or I didn't tell this person to do it, but I didn't tell them not to do it. It's weird stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the other super weird thing about Coville is that he knows that it's her because he recognizes her even with glasses on, which isn't that weird. Like, you would probably recognize him. Although I was out at a bar the other night and I have gotten kind of buddy buddy with one of the security guards there because we were talking about Star Wars. And so now, like, he just literally like glances at my ID out of formality, but he's just like, go on in. I know who you are. But I had my glasses off and I had like red contacts in because it was Halloween and did not recognize me at all.
So you're walking in and going, this Supergirl shit works.
Yeah, I was, because I tried to like make eye contact with him and give him like a little head nod, like, sup, man, like three different times. He even came up to the people right next to me and like took a picture with them and stuff, and like he looked at me, did not recognize me at all. And I was like, okay, well, we've debunked that. Like, it works.
It works. I just went Clark Kent on this bitch.
Yeah. Reverse Clark Kent or something. I don't know. Yeah, it was weird. But he knows it's Supergirl when Kara comes to talk to him. I would be so nervous if I were her at that, because he's clearly off his rocker, at least a little bit.
Tiny bit.
That's a scary thing, right?
Yeah. I was like, okay, stalker. Like, yeah, I would be freaked out.
How would you react if you were Supergirl, though?
Punch him in the face.
You're like, I'm just going to end this right now.
All right, well.
I'm just kidding.
Violent sort of there, Nicole.
Just kidding, sort of.
Right. I mean,
gotta protect my secret.
We're done.
It's super weird. You know, he asks if this is a test, if Supergirl's there to test his faith. And she can't even like deny it. She's just like, I don't
know
what to do.
She just can't even.
And she cannot even. But the only bit of acting that I haven't believed from her in a while was in this scene. And thinking back, I honestly feel like maybe it's because she was trying to force herself to be believable, but was doing a bad job. Like, she as Kara.
So her bad acting was part of her being a bad actor with Supergirl.
Like, it was in the
Kara
script
thing.
To act badly.
Yes. It seems like that, because she took her glasses off and she tried to be menacing, and she said, well, if I'm a god, then you have to do what I say and you have to trust in me. You have to stop this, stop teaching this stuff, stop doing these meetings, blah, blah, blah. I mean it. And she tries to be really stern, and it was just like, really?
Like, you should have broke the glasses.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't, like, could she have saved it, or would there have been something that would have made you believe as him that you would stop? I mean, that's always the weird thing about, like, faith and belief in things, that it's not always just, like, that simple where somebody could just tell you to stop.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know what she could have done to actually make him.
I don't think she could have done anything. When people believe, they believe. And that's pretty much that, unless they get super concrete proof as to why they shouldn't. So I don't know. But he's off his rocker. And he doesn't stop. Spoiler. Yeah. All right, let's go to another quick break, and we will continue discussing the Children of Rao.
Take off your coat, I'll make you feel at home.
Adam and Eve wants to give you more with free gifts. Go to adamandeve.com and you'll find over 18,000 adult entertainment products, including toys, lingerie, and a seemingly endless selection of adult DVDs. And there's more. We're giving you 10 free gifts. A gift for her, a gift for him, plus a special gift you and your partner will both like. Plus 6 full-length adult DVDs and free shipping. So head on over to adamandeve.com and enter offer code RAINMAN at checkout. Girl, you know I'm hooked on you. And this is what I'll do. For you, I don't think.
Never.
All right. So Jimmy and Kara, James and Kara, they bond over religion for a moment. She talks about how important, you know, which we already discussed. She talks about how important the teachings of Rao were to her society, her culture, her family, everything on Krypton. And there was just a sense of community there. And James talks about, you know, I used to feel that way when I would go to church on Sundays. So I totally understand. And Kara has a moment of, you know, I can fight all these things, but I don't know how to fight someone's beliefs. You know, he has this blind faith. And James tells her a story about how he met Superman. And it wasn't as Clark Kent. I mean, that was, you know, he met Clark Kent for the first time in a particular way at the Daily Planet. But Superman, he was reckless and he was risky and trying to get the perfect shot. And he fell off of a bridge spire. And he prayed like most people would in that sort of situation. You know, I think anyone, regardless of whether they're religious, has a really good chance of praying to anyone or anything that could potentially possibly.
Save me.
Yeah, literally anyone, anything. Yeah. Oh my God, please don't let me die.
Jesus, somebody.
Jesus, Satan, I don't care.
Somebody
I don't
save
care
me.
At this point.
I don't want to die.
We'll talk about the details later, but for right now, just don't let me die. And he was saved by Superman in that moment. And he talks about how, you know, the supers they're tangible beings. They're living, breathing right there. They can see them. They can touch them. They can, you know, witness them and ride free into Valhalla. But sorry. So it's, you know, it's,
I was like, Valhalla's not a Superman thing. I'm like, oh, never mind.
Oh, Mad Max. Huh. But that's a really good point. Is that, you know, people follow religion without having any visible proof already. But if there was someone, if there was something that seemed miraculous, that was physical, that we could touch, that we could see, I think a lot of people would follow that, or would at least, you know, idolize it in some way. I don't know how I would react. I'm not a religious person.
Yeah, no, I'm always one of those people. Like, I was never like baptized or anything as a kid.
I was.
But my dad always said that if I needed to find religion or faith, that I would find it on my own. And people always ask me, they're like, well, what do you believe in? I go, well, I believe in myself. And that's all I really need. That's all I've ever needed. You know, I have never had a look at some kind of scripture or any kind of book or, you know, teachings that tell me what is right and what is wrong. You know, I've always had like a weird belief in myself. But if something like this would happen to where it was like a super being that would come around and do all these, you know, kind of what we call miracles, I would have a hard time not being one of those like in awe looking at her or Superman or, you know, and believing in that. I mean, that's just me.
I kind of agree.
Huh. I think that was one of like kind of the better things we saw, like in Batman versus Superman. You know, where they would show Clark and everybody reaching up for him and looking for him as more of a god than, you know, come save me type person. And and like I said, I could see that being like a realistic type thing. We see people kind of, you know, worship TV shows or movies or whatever they're going into, you know, that they become completely obsessed with. I could only imagine if something like this were to happen in the real world, how big of a thing would that be? Like a threat to the Catholic Church, Superman is, because, you know, we can touch him. We don't have to read in a book that, you know, somebody parted the Red Sea. You know, we can watch this man do this thing or this woman do this thing.
Right.
So I could see how people would just become enamored and fall in love with it, especially if they've actually touched you. You know, it's not like seeing Jesus burnt into a piece of toast. It's something that's there. So,
yeah,
it's definitely one of those storylines that I appreciate when they have the Kryptonians kind of touch on it, you know, as far as what a real human reaction would be.
I think you're right. I think it's fairly, I mean, I think it's fairly obvious that that's something that would happen. I think, you know, the second that it becomes tangible, it's immediately more intoxicating, I guess, and becomes something that people are infatuated by. So I don't know. I mean, we get to see again, you know, we get to see all these people who are so, so enamored with her and her godlike status when they find that, what is it, the Beta Hydron?
Yeah, whatever they call that thing.
At the hockey game. They're all just sitting there and they're all just like, oh, this is perfect, blah, blah, blah. She'll save us all, whatever. It's all going to be great. It's all going to be fine. And No. And they have a moment of realization when there's kryptonite, because there's Kryptonian soil that was sent in that pod. And she's weakened. And they all look at her and go, you know, I thought she was going to save all of us. I thought, you know, we thought she was a god. And she was like, I'm not a god. Like, please look at me in this state. I'm not a god. And they're like, oh, well, gods can lose their way. Gods can be weakened. It's fine. I'm a cult leader. Everything's fine. Everything's going according to plan.
Still believe, please.
Yeah, but I mean, she does everything she can in that moment while they are all there sitting around waiting for this bomb to go off, to show them that she's not a god, but she's also not human. She's different. And that doesn't make her something to worship. She's just a lady doing her best, trying to save some people, man.
Just using the skills given to me.
Yeah. We'll get back to the hockey game unless anyone else has anything to add to that. But,
no.
But after the fact, you know, they save the day. Whatever.
Because it's still a Supergirl show.
Yeah. And she goes to visit Koval in prison because now he's committed a terrorist act. he's upgraded from cult leader to terrorist. Woo!
He's white. They don't get terrorists.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. If you're white, you're not a terrorist. but, you know, she brings up, first and foremost, I gotta ask, you know, are you gonna tell anyone? Are you going to tell anyone who I am? Are you going to expose my secret? And he says, you know, honestly, I don't even remember the name you gave me. Do you think that's bullshit?
I kind of think it's bullshit. But I don't know. You never know with these people.
I feel like it's bullshit. I feel like he was just, and not that he's lying, but more like a, you know, hey, don't tell anyone about that thing. What thing? Yeah. Wink, wink.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. I don't even know what thing you're mentioning.
Yeah. I almost believe he's a nut job that he didn't even care. Like, he was so enamored with her.
See, that's the thing. That's the other option is, does he just not give a shit because that's clearly not her? And she's so free and whatever as Supergirl, and that's who she is, and not whatever so-and-so blah, 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 basic bitch. That's the other thing. Like, it's one of the two for sure.
Yeah, because you always wonder because he thought it was a test. So right. You wonder if he always knew that it was her. So it's like, why? Mm-hmm. You're just testing me.
Right. Okay. That's fair. That's a good point.
Reasonable.
And there's a strange bit of clarity in everything that he says in his final interaction with her, where he talks about, you know, when I looked into your eyes that night, the first night that you saved everyone on that plane, your eyes were filled with purpose and clarity. And now when I look at you and I look into your eyes, I just see doubt and sadness and loss. And that's oddly astute for a crazy pants cult leader, you know?
What kind of chicken bones are you throwing down that you can read all this future or into my eyes? And,
witch! He's a witch! Burn him!
Burn that man.
So, I mean, you know, there's a lot of clarity there, and there's a lot of things that he's pointing out that are really relevant with where Kara's at and the journey that she's gone on in the past couple seasons. And he mentions a couple other things which, you know, you kind of roll your eyes at, but they're not so nutty. You know, he says, you know, I will continue to pray to you because I believe in you. And it doesn't sound so crazy anymore by the end, because he's seeing that through Rao, you know, his purpose, if nothing else, is maybe to encourage and push Kara along onto, like, back onto her path, because she's lost her way. And yeah, that sounds a little like, oh, I have divine purpose from God, and he spoke to me and told me that this is exactly what I have to do. But
this is my purpose.
But also at the same time, you just by judging the things around you, you could kind of say, well, I have the opportunity to do this.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's why I followed this. Maybe that's why I was kind of put in this position and allowed this opportunity. And he says, so I will continue to pray to you, but I will also pray for you, which is not a horrible sentiment.
No.
So I don't know.
I think I would rather have people pray for me than pray to me.
Duh. Yeah. That was.
I don't need all that pressure.
I didn't mean for that to be my actual response on air. That was supposed to just be in my head, and I was supposed to say something more eloquent than that. Like, yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. 100%, Bobby. But duh. Yeah.
I don't need all that pressure.
This is a lot of pressure. Screw that.
How long do you. He has to reappear, right?
Oh, totally. 100%. And we'll see her going to him and visiting him, searching for an outside perspective out of her friend circle, out of the people that know her life, because he knows who she is and she can talk about things with him, but he doesn't know the inner workings of her life. He doesn't know the dynamics there, you know? So he's not biased at all.
You always wonder if she would try to save him or teach him properly.
Maybe.
I mean, it would be a weird religious show, like, but I don't know.
I see her potentially going to visit him a few more times and seeking advice simply on the teachings of Rao, and really just using him as a sounding board more than anything, you know? Someone to talk at about your religion and your God, who is interested in you talking about it. And who isn't going to judge you or have a biased, like, objective opinion on your life.
I'm not going over there. She's going to talk about her God again.
Here we go. Rao this, Rao that. And we get to see them talking. We get one last little bit about religion. And it's pointed out to Kara when they go to the talent show that we see all these little girls in Supergirl inspired costumes, and they're doing a little dance routine, and it's
and
real
it was
cute.
The cutest thing ever.
Yeah. And that's that kind of thing that we would see now. And especially with, like, Wonder Woman, now that that's a thing that's gotten huger than it was, much, much larger. And it's pointed out to Kara that, you know, okay, see, look, those kids, they don't worship you, but you've inspired them. And there's a difference there. And there's always, to elaborate on that, I would say, you know, there's always those nut jobs that will take it to the point of worship. But the majority of people are of sound mind and are sane and would be simply inspired by that person. So I liked that they took the time to point out the difference.
Yes.
Hey, looking up to someone, being inspired by someone is not wrong or weird or creepy or culty. It's when you start setting fires to buildings and leaving yourself on the rooftop.
And sending your people to do the such things.
Yeah, like that's when we've got a problem here. Let's move away from all of that, though, and let's talk about Samantha. Like we mentioned earlier, we've still got this slow play of the main villain, which I'm really liking. I'm really liking getting to know her and kind of growing attached to her.
I know, it's going to suck later, isn't it?
We're going to have a bad time, guys.
Okay, so Nicole, if we know she's going bad, are you going to hope, you know, because we're kind of not falling, but we have a connection with her now, that they try to save her versus defeat her?
No. I kind of want this to just be like, I like having my heart crushed apparently because I'm a glutton for punishment. But no, I kind of want it to just be this. She goes evil and they end up having to defeat her because drama.
Okay.
Yeah,
I know they will try though.
I'm going to have a bad time.
I want to be prepared with tissues.
Something's got to happen, man. Something's got to happen.
It's just going to be weird because of the whole kid thing and everything else. There's other things attached.
And she's becoming a part of their group now. You know, she's become like friends with Lena and Kara.
Which
and
I was kind of seeing this coming.
And Maggie. And I was hoping this wasn't going to happen. Keep it separate.
Nope.
God. But, you know, they've got a girls' night where we get our weekly reminder that Maggie and Alex don't want kids.
And it just makes me so sad.
Which we also saw. Something's going to happen.
Yeah.
We saw at the talent show that Alex is not doing okay with it. And it's something's coming to a head there very soon. And she's laying in bed sobbing next to Maggie about how she wants to be a mom. And like, that's something she doesn't want to give up, but she loves this woman and she knows that she has to really talk to her about it. And it probably means saying goodbye. So it's like, why did they wait so long? Because I feel like that's not the right time to have a real true heart to heart, you know, right before you get married, after you've already started the planning, you know, after you've already started hiring people and this and that. You've put down deposits now. I don't know. Like, I feel like, wouldn't you guys like talk about this maybe when someone proposed initially? Like, hey, what are your goals for your future life? Does it involve family? Does it involve, you know, moving away? Are there any major things that we should talk about?
Yeah, well, I think it should be done before a proposal even happens.
Like, I do too.
Like, honestly, when it comes to life, I guess, you have to be responsible for your own happiness. And we obviously see here that Alex is only going to be happy if she gets to be a mom, because that's like number one thing she really wants in life. At some point, she really, really, really wants to be a mom. But she also really, really loves this woman. But is she going to sacrifice her happiness just to stay with her? Like, it's a very difficult decision and situation that she's now found herself in. But ultimately, you have to do what's going to make you happy. And I feel like if she continues to say, no, I don't want kids, and continues to try to fool herself into saying that she doesn't want kids, she's going to end up very miserable. Yeah. And potentially end up with an addiction. Because she'll try to find something to cope with her depression.
You mean like turn to the bottle every time she sees a kid?
Exactly.
I mean, that's always going to be the thing, is every time like somebody like Ruby comes along, you know, they brought up that whole like, well, at least we could be the cool aunts. And they're like, yeah. And then it's like every time I look at a kid now, I'm going to be like, oh, well, you know, I could have that for my own, but I guess we're cool aunts. It's a
Yeah, and it's she's going to end up resenting Maggie because of it. So yeah. It's like, yeah, it's probably something you should have figured out before you put the ring on the finger.
You should have lived together a little longer, figured out these things.
Yeah.
I'm a firm believer that people should move in together before they get married.
Oh, totally.
Like, way before.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Don't sign legal papers until...
Until you,
until you know that you can tolerate that other person.
Your yes. first legal paper you should sign should be a lease.
Yeah. Where someone could like leave or like break the lease if they have to.
A rental agreement or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So.
Yeah, run a credit check on her.
For real?
Oh, your credit shitty? I need financial stability. Here.
Kick her to the curb.
Yeah.
So we get to see a lot about Samantha, though, you know, moving kind of off of the planning to have kids thing and onto someone who does have a kid and watching her struggle between running this company and being a mom and wanting to be there for her kid at all times, but also like wanting to be a good boss, be a good, you know, employee, be competent and a badass and whatever. So it's she's really struggling with it. And I don't know. She doesn't seem like a bad guy.
I think that's the thing, is they're playing her up so everybody falls in love with her or in love with some aspect
something
of her.
Something drastic has to happen.
They want to crush our hearts. That's the goal in life this season.
They're going to Mon-El you guys again.
Or maybe.
Seriously. They really are.
Or maybe. We're not going to think she's totally like unrelatable when she goes bad, you know, maybe a bit misguided, but her reasonings are solid, you know, like maybe, maybe they're going to make us feel real conflicted and shitty. I don't know.
That's what I mean. Crushing hearts.
Are you whimpering already?
Yes.
Hasn't even really started yet. And she's dying over here.
All right. Let's talk about that scene where she is getting ready for bed. Well, she's getting ready to take a bath, right? And she looks in the mirror and sees all those symbols all over her face, and a cloaked figure appears next to her, and her face is going back and forth between what appears to be Kryptonian or humanoid and real demonic, and is saying, you know, from Ra's fire, you are born. One day soon you will reign. I don't know what more to say about that scene other than describing it. The visuals were great. It was real cool. Her daughter now knows that there's something real wrong going on with mommy, and she's going to be freaked out about it.
Those mirror like jump scenes never get old.
No,
they don't. I mean, I saw it coming, but I was still like, what's happening? Oh, shit.
Well, because you know it's coming, but you don't know what's going to be in the mirror.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a time-tested one that you're just not like, oh, they've used that. They've used that too much.
Come on, man.
Come on,
man.
There's
something new to do with the mirror.
Yeah.
It was a pretty interesting scene, though. And now I'm interested to see how Ruby's going to be like, Mom, what the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah. And, you know, there is the question of, was that a world killer? Or was that not? And if it is, who? Because, you know, it sure as hell doesn't look like Perilous. Perilous looks like a lizard person.
Yeah.
You know, who else would it be? There's Daymax and Flower of Heaven. So
they find a way to kind of let you kind of lead you on to next week. And then probably next week we won't get any more on it. And we'll be like, what the hell?
Are we
as long as they don't go Cadmus on us.
Okay. If we're going to get all the world killers, are they all just going to look like human?
Human.
Because none of them do. Like Flower of Heaven is this bright, shiny, weird creature. And then Daymax is like a saber-tooth cat human thing.
Next cosplay.
And then and then Perilous is, yeah, looks like a lizard or dinosaur person or whatever.
I think they'll kind of make them human looking.
They might have done that purely for budget.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, no, that makes perfect sense because the world killers are definitely like, they would eat up budget in each episode for sure. But it's just very strange. And I guess it doesn't totally... It makes more sense that they are Kryptonians that were experimented on, or they were beings created with Kryptonian DNA rather than just like genetically altered bioweapons that, yeah. that have some Kryptonian in them. I don't know. It's weird. But so, you know, we really don't know what we're looking at. We don't know what they look like, and we don't know how to tell a world killer from a crazed, culty Kryptonian that experimented and created the world killers. Mm-hmm. Next time on Supergirl. That's all we got.
It's definitely, but again, it makes you hyped up for what's coming.
I know, they're keeping us on our toes. I like it.
I'm loving this season so far. I think this is the one show that I'm like, I've been in it each episode, and I'm loving how much attention to the other characters we're getting. I'm loving and also very scared about falling in love with someone who is going to be a villain. I never have a problem with CG really, like, ever in this show. The writing, the scripts have been great. The acting has been on point. I just don't have complaints. I got nothing to critique this time, guys.
Yeah.
Except for that one little tiny bit of Melissa Benoist's acting when talking to Coville. And honestly,
and I think it was intentional.
And I think that was probably intentional because she's a little bit better than that. So I don't know. Any other final thoughts from you guys?
No. I mean, same. Like, really good episode. But when the hell am I getting Mon-El back? Come on.
There it is. There's our one critique.
That's the critique.
First of all, I need a little bit more comedic relief from Wynn. And where the hell is my Mon-El?
Both of those, yes.
My whole thing was the only thing that I could kind of nitpick was I didn't need you to say 22 hours before.
Okay, that's fair.
You know, and I'm like, I know what just happened. It happened legitimately 2 minutes ago in the scene. Like, what does it matter if it was 22 hours ago, 22 minutes ago, 22 seconds ago?
Well, because they wanted to leave the episode off on that,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to just showing it right after.
Okay.
That's what they wanted your last thought, your last vision of the episode to be. So they kind of had to flash back to it. But you're right. They didn't need to say 22 hours before. They probably could have just gone, like, into that falling in and then exploding, and there we go. It's awakening the pod. But I think with that, that's going to be it for today's DC on CW Supergirl edition. And remember, you can always catch any past and future DC on CW episodes through the Rain Man digital app. And be sure to follow us on social media. Our Twitter is @DC on CW. Facebook is facebook.com/DC on CW. And our Instagram is @DC_on_CW. And we will catch you next time.
Not in the mood for chit chat. Gotcha. Ready when you are.